Romans 12, 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophecy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
1 Corinthians 12:7 through 10. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecies, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues.
So we're beginning the process today of making all of these gifts of the Spirit normal. Just, we expect them. We show up, we're together, we expect prophecy, we expect healing, we expect encouragement, we expect mercy and leading and all of these other spiritual gifts that we just read about. But before we move forward with that, I feel like there's two questions that we need to answer and ask together. And one of the questions hangs on what my friend and coach Dan Greider calls the most important word in the Bible. Now, can you imagine trying to boil the most important word down to one word in the Bible? I mean, I think if you ask kind of the average churchgoer what the most important word in the Bible is, they probably would say love, wouldn't they? You teachers, you know what you'd say, right? Truth. A lot of you. I know a lot of my teachers would say truth. I would probably go with grace. I love that word, grace. There's a lot of people that might say justice is a really important word. And we haven't even gotten to the word Jesus. I mean, it'd be hard to say there's a more important word in the Bible than Jesus, right? But we talked about last week, this word, Dan chose this Greek word, pistuo. And we talked about how we have a Greek word in the Bible that means three English words. Do you remember what they were?
Trust, believe,
and faith. All at the same time. And we just don't have an English word for that, do we? Faith, trust, and believe all at the same time. So the best Dan could come up with is he said it means to go all in with God. To have so much faith, so much trust, to believe in something or someone that we go all in with them. So let's take this out of the Bible and let's just think about in real life what are some things that we pistuo, that we have faith in and we trust in and we believe in, that we don't question, we don't hesitate. Our lives are governed by it, right? And I reference occasionally gravity, right? I pistuo gravity. I don't doubt gravity. I respect gravity. I honor gravity. I make sure there's some things I don't do anymore in my life because of gravity. I have an extension ladder that goes up about 20 feet. If I'm all the way up at the top of that, I don't stand on the very top rung of that ladder. Usually I'm about the second or third rung down. Why? Because gravity's real, and I'm pistuo with gravity. I think something else that we're all pistuo with, no one are the chairs you're sitting on. You had perfect faith, trust, and belief that chair was going to support you when you came in today. No one came in today, grabbed the chair, flipped it over, wanted to check the screws on it to make sure they were all tightened. You know, did this kind of motion, that feels solid, I'll sit down on that chair today. No one has ever come up to me and said, you know what, these chairs aren't acceptable, Pastor, they're not safe, we need different... I saw person after person plopped their stuff down. No doubt that chair was going to hold it. Sat right down.
You trusted in that chair, didn't you?
Oh, here's one. Here's another one that we festool. How about heat?
Are you all in with heat?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard anybody say, yeah, I rented a new apartment here in Pottsville. It doesn't have heat, but that's okay. I'll be fine. Right?
Because, you know, it got down to 12 degrees at Friday night or Thursday night.
You know, we live in the Northeast. Heat is something we believe and trust. And if your heat ever stops working in your home, it's a crisis, isn't it? Right. Can you think real quick, name some other things that we're pastua with?
Yeah,
cars most of the time, right. You know, we hope our cars. I was thinking about cars too, but you know, there's no guarantee with a car, right? You know. I don't have pastua on my car. Let me just say that. It's failed me. Cars have failed me too many times in my life. I have a level of faith and trust and belief. But I drove to Allentown yesterday and I thought, man, I hope this car doesn't get me there and back, right? I like how you're thinking, though. Somebody else, can you think of another thing we pastuo?
Sun.
Yeah. There's no doubt it's going to come up, right? There's no doubt it's going to set. There's no doubt it's going to refresh and take care of us. And if the clouds cover up the sun, we're disappointed, aren't we? Most days, especially in the winter. Yeah.
Still there, though.
Yeah. We have complete and total pastuo in the sun. Now here's the thing. None of those things care at all about us. That chair doesn't care about me. Gravity could care less whether I respect it or honor it or not. But Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Father has loved us with an eternal and everlasting love. We just have Valentine's Day, right? God was the first one to say, I'm going to love you forever. There's no man or woman that can take credit for that. He loves us so much, so deeply and passionately. Did you know he's counted every hair on your head? He keeps track of the hair. I've never said that to my wife. I mean, I love her, and I've said some really syrupy things. I'll say this today because she's not here. Syrupy things to her. But I never said, you know, I love you so much I've counted every hair on your head, love. That's devotion, isn't it? And so the Father says to us, you can trust me. You can believe in me. You can have faith in me. And because of that, go all in with me. Come into my kingdom. Be my child. Don't hold anything back. Don't make anything in your life more important than me. It means that we go so far in with God when we pastuo Him that we hold nothing back. Some people are now calling this radical obedience. I love that language. Isn't that great language? Just this radical approach. I just trust the Father so much. I believe in faith in Him so much that if there's anything in my life that He doesn't want, it's gone. I mean, why would I want something in my life the Father doesn't want? Right? It's really a great story in Acts 19. God's doing miracles, healing. The word is spreading rapidly. And this leads to a lot of people becoming Christians. And in the middle of the chapter, around verse 18, there's this movement of confession of sin. There's all of these people, and the scripture says, many who became believers. So what do you think the word there is for believer? Pastuoers. Go ahead, everybody. That's fun. Say that. Pastuoers. They're good there, right? Confess their sinful practices. And it goes on to say, and I thought about Schuylkill County, because, you know, we have the largest Wiccan group in the state of Pennsylvania in our county. And I come across people all the time that have spell books. And by the way, if you have one, you need to get rid of it as soon as possible. Burning is optimum. The best way, that way it doesn't, no one else gets their hands on it. If you don't have a way to burn it, we'll help you with that. But in Acts Acts 19, that's what they were practicing sorcery, and they had spell books. And it says they had a public bonfire, and they brought their spell books, and the value of the books, are you ready for this? Was several million dollars. We're not talking about rich people here. They have these spell books. They could have been like, hey, I'm all in with you, God, but let me sell this spell book because, hey, I can give this money to the poor. Or let me just keep a little bit back for myself. You know, the house needs a new roof. The furnace is not working like it needs to, right? Well, they didn't have furnaces. But anyway, no, this pistuo, they were pistuoers. They were believers. They were all inners. And they just burned them. Does God need our money?
No.
No, He doesn't. So if He tells you to give it away, give it away. But Pastor, you don't know. You don't know. I don't have much. Please. Really? I've already collected the offering, so I'm not trying to get your money for River Church, okay? Trust the Father. And I've known people that would do all kinds of crazy stuff over the years. As the Father laid, I've known people cancel the internet in their house because they were doing things on the internet they shouldn't have been doing. I've known people cut up all their credit cards and get rid of them because they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing with those credit cards. I know people that forgave the unforgivable. Because the Father said to forgive the unforgivable. And it's beautiful to watch. That's why Dan believes pistuo is this powerful and most important word. And listen to a few of these scriptures. And these I put in your bulletin if you want to follow along. Look at this. For those who, we missed a letter there. Pistuo, or believe, went all in His name. He gave the right to become who? You don't get to be a child of God if you don't pistuo. Now, the Bible says we're either children of darkness or children of God. And we think, oh, I can go halfway in with God. It's okay. It's all good. Right? No, you're still a child of darkness then. What's it like being a child of darkness? That's miserable, isn't it? How powerful is it to go, this Father loves me? I'm all in. I'm not holding anything back from Him. And boom. Now, there's other scripture that says we're adopted into the royal family. This is the kingdom of God, right? So when you're adopted, do you still live in your old house? Do you still have the same name? Oh, or last name, sorry. No, you get fully integrated into the new family. And we actually physically, emotionally, spiritually, body, soul, and spirit, we become a child of God. But it's not from praying some little magical prayer, putting a bumper sticker on my car that says, God is my co-pilot, now all of a sudden I'm a child of God. It's by going all in radical obedience to Him. Here's one you'll know. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever pistuoed in Him, goes all in with Him, shall not perish but have eternal life. Our eternity hangs on this. This is not a game. There's going to be a whole lot of church people in church today that are going to enter into eternity, and they think they're fine with God, and they're going to get there and say, I never knew you. You're not a part of my family. You're not a child of God. You're not all in. So, has the Holy Spirit been bringing things to you that you need to let go of? That you need to love, forgive, do, so you can be an all-inner? Yeah, this is not a game, right? If I don't share this with you, I'm not being a good pastor. Because someday I'm going to stand before God and He's going to say, how come you didn't tell Him about that? It's not happening to me. I'm doing the whole gospel. Right? Yeah. Okay, well, a couple more. Without pistuo faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must pistuo believe. So there we got a double. We got two pistuos in that one. Let's
So here's a, I just took out a little bit there. Without going all in faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to Him must have going all in belief. So we can't believe God just because we do the right things and follow the right rules and think the right thoughts and, hey, I read my Bible every day. That makes me okay with God, right? I don't think that's what Hebrews 11:6 says. It says that there's this all-inness. I mean, what does it say about us if I trust the chair more than I trust God? God help us, right? Okay, one more. Don't you love, let's read this one out loud. All things are possible for the one who pistuo believes. Some things? That's an amazing promise, isn't it? And here's why. If I am all in with the King of the Universe, and He asks me to do something, it's not impossible. There's nothing impossible when we are following and walking with God through life. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing. We are in a hurting community with a lot of brokenness and darkness. What this community needs are pistuoers walking around saying, this is nothing. God can handle this. No big deal. I know the person that can manage it and handle it for you. So, this leads us to our first question we talked about last week, right? Are you all in? Are you all in? And so we show up in somebody's life, and here's what typically happens. Have you found this to be the case? You're going about doing your normal thing where you live, work, and play, and boom, God drops somebody into your life that has a major problem. You know, they've got a serious mental illness, or they've had a car accident, or they have no money, or go right down the list of things, you know, their family's falling apart, or, right? And the temptation for us is to say to them, well, I know a great counselor. Or, ooh, I found the right doctor that will help you with that. That's our temptation. This is the question that we need to lead them to. Because none of those things matter until they're willing to go all in with God. Because we know the all-inners God takes care of. Does He use counselors? Absolutely. Does He use doctors? Absolutely. But it is God. It is His work. That's the question we need to be asking people and asking ourselves. Are you willing to trust the Father? No. Well, let's talk about that. Why not? Because Christians hurt me. Well, are Christians and God different?
Yeah.
Are they the same? Because there are people that get it wrong. So, are you all in? Now, in your bulletin, I included the John Wesley prayer that I had last week. It's printed. If you open up your bulletin, it's on the right-hand side of the actual bulletin, that John Wesley prayer. It's a great kind of all-in prayer. And then I've also, he wrote some questions for the Methodists way back then in the 1700s to think through, to be like checkpoints. And those are great. Let me back up just for a second to say this. The best tool to use in recklessly pursuing obedience is the Bible. To thoughtfully and carefully every day to read some scripture and ask God to check you through it. It's so healing, so encouraging, so, and if God brings something to my attention, a sin, and I get it out of my life, I'm a better person. Why would I want to keep something God doesn't want in my life? Who am I, right? I think I know better than the Father? And then another great tool to use is to be mentored by those who have lived as all-inners, recklessly pursuing obedience. And John, what God led me, thankfully, to some of the writings of John Wesley years ago. And these are a couple things I've harvested from that. And if you want to have a great exercise, for a week or two, take that prayer, pray it every day,
as you're reading the Bible, read through, or as you're praying, read through those questions, and you're going to, God, the Holy Spirit's going to be shown, start revealing some things to you about where you're not all in like you thought you were. And by the way, if you lose those items, let me just take you to our webpage for a minute. Do you see the little grow tab at the top there? If you hover over it, that pops out. You can click on Life Journal. It will take you to a daily Bible reading. You can click if you don't have your own daily Bible reading. If you go back to Grow and then click on Ways to Grow, it will take you to a new feature we've added where I'm going to start putting on our website some of the handouts and things. So if you lose it, you can just go to the webpage and it will be there for you. So our web address is riverchurchpottsville.com. You can find all of that there. We're not going to normalize the gifts of the Spirit if we're not completely and radically obedient to God. It's just not going to happen. It's just not. I mean, you know, that first group in Romans, I can look like doing some of that serving and encouraging and doing some of that, but it's not going to be expressions of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that's supposed to initiate that and lead that. I mean, I can try to fake prophecy a little bit, but most people are going to know it's not from God. This just isn't going to happen unless we're all in. We're all in. That was the first question. Are you all in? There's one more vital question we need to talk about. And it's what is really interesting is in Acts chapter 19, further up than what I read at the beginning of Acts chapter 19, Paul arrives in Ephesus. And he actually spent more time in Ephesus than anywhere else, which is interesting. But he shows up and he meets some believers. What's the Greek word behind believers? Some bestowers. All inners, right? And so he meets them, and, you know, he's new to Ephesus. He meets some Christians, and if I'm him, I'm asking questions like, oh, well, it's nice to meet you guys. You know any good restaurants? You know, I'm new here. Can you help me find a place to live? Where do you get your hair cut? You ever move to a new community? There's all those kind of, you know, who's your mechanic, works on your car, all those kind of things. Here's what the question he asks in verse 2. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you pistuo believed? Have you ever asked anybody that question? We don't ask that question, do we? It's constantly asked in the book of Acts. Over and over again, they're asking, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you went all in? What a question we need to be asking each other. All that we're trying to do and live and be hangs on these two questions. Are you all in? And have you received the Holy Spirit? And you know what's really fascinating? Jesus taught in two places the Lord's Prayer that we pray, and we've been calling it the Kingdom Prayer, the Prayer of the Kingdom. And in the Luke 11 version, it's a little small, shorter, briefer version of it. And he teaches it, and then he gives some teachings on prayer. And then he ends his teaching on the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, by saying, asking a few questions. And he says basically, parents, if your children asked for a fish, they were hungry, they came to you, hey, give me some fish to eat. Would you give them a snake? Would you try to scare them and say, ha 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 ha, no food for you? I'm going to give you a snake. Or if they ask for an egg, are you going to give them a scorpion so that they can get injured? Of course not, exclamation point, he says. And then I love what he says next. These are, Jesus is, just lays it all out there, right? He doesn't say this so we can feel really good about ourselves. He says, so if you sinful people
It's like, oh, Jesus, wow. If even you who are sinners know how to give good gifts to your children, and we do, don't we? We do. We know how to give good gifts to our children, to those we care and love about. How much more, and here's where it is, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So the Father says, here is this amazing gift I want to give you, but you got to ask for it. I'm not going to just give it to you. You've got to ask for the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what it is, because when we become Christians, yeah, there's some measure of the Holy Spirit that we receive, but then there's something else, greater something or other that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. Some people call it the baptism. Paul says be constantly filled. There's a filling with the Spirit. There's different New Testament words that are used for that. But what if I'm never asking for the Holy Spirit? I think we get to the place where we're empty and we're trying to follow this list of rules and be the good person and be the good Christian, and it's just weary. But there's power that God wants to give us. There's joy. Like, remember the fruits of the Spirit? Joy, peace, love, patience, self-control. All of these beautiful things that God wants to give us if we will ask. Because He's not like us. He's above us and greater than us. And if we can give good gifts to our children, because not once when my son came to me and asked for food, did I go, my little precious, I'm so glad you asked. Close your eyes and put your hands out. This is my chance to scare you. Snakes and scorpions bite, don't they? They hurt. No, we don't do that. The Father wants to give us this amazing gift. I know we're going a little bit long, but I just feel like I have to. God, for 2 days now, has told me to share this story, so I better do it. Because I'm an all-inner. Right? Okay. So, probably the darkest night of my life was when, I'm not going to share the whole story, I just want to share a little piece of this, was we were in Florida, far away from everybody that we had grown up with, that knew us and loved us. And my wife is laying in a hospital bed, and it's been some very serious things that have happened. Been horrible nightmare of a day. And at 2 a.m., I'm in the hospital. I can't sleep. I'm walking the corridors of the hospital. Some of you, you've been through some similar things. You know what that feels like, right? I'm just, you know, spent much of the day crying. And in the middle of that, in that moment, I will never forget, a peace came upon me, and I knew I was not alone. I did not ask for it. I was just so empty, I didn't even think to pray. And this peace just came upon me that enveloped me. And I knew the Father was there. I knew He was with me, and I didn't see or feel a physical presence, but I knew it. I knew He was going to take care of us. I knew we were going to be okay. I knew we were going to get through it. And I just found a chair in the hallway and sat down for a few minutes, and then I went back to the room and went to sleep. That's what it means to be to stew over. The Father wants to take care of us and provide for us and love us and strengthen us and guide us. But
we stay outside the kingdom. Right? You have to be pistuo to be a child of God. Was I perfect? Absolutely not. But I have sinned. Do I still have sin? Sure. But I had, right, I had given my heart to the Father. He was the most important thing to me. He still is. And that's what God wants to do. That's who God wants us to take to others. He wants us to show up in their lives full of that Holy Spirit, full of the gifts, understanding who we are and how we operate, and the gifts He's given us to this hurting county and beyond. That's the church we can be. Amen?
Amen.
So, are you all in?
Absolutely.
Have you received the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
Let's pray together. Father, we love You and thank You for that You wrote that first Valentine, so to speak, thousands of years ago. That You love us with this everlasting love, and pray that there'd be, You'd help us every day, over and over again, to give all that we are to all of You, to hold nothing back. We bless You and honor You today. Pray You would search us and know us. We love You. And we pray You'd give us the Holy Spirit again. Pray that You'd fill us and baptize us, and that the gifts of these wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit would be the reality of our life in the church and out of the church, that we would live them with one another, we'd live them with the lost, and that You would help us to be this great missionary force for You. Oh, we cherish You and honor You today. Say, no matter what it is You want for our lives, we say yes to You. We trust You. We believe. And we have faith in You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.